Dateline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, what happened in the House on the economic stimulus and what's still to come in the Senate? We'll talk with Roll Call newspaper reporter Steve Dennis about the unanimous Republican opposition to the bill, the bitter Democratic backlash in the House to the fact that Republicans did not go along despite a couple of concessions, and we'll find out exactly what this bipartisan gang of 14 might be up to on the Senate side of things. Also in this edition, healthcare horrors included in the stimulus bill. Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, is with us to talk about what lurks inside that economic stimulus plan that could change our healthcare system forever and not for the better. Plus, American Grit Part 2 will bring you the second half of my interview with syndicated columnist and political commentator Tony Blankley about some of the issues he believes will be critical to America maintaining its greatness in the 21st century. And, ending the week on a much-needed lighter note, we'll visit with the Capitol Steps, who bring us two selections this week. All that, plus the end of the week's top news, follows our conversation with Steve Dennis of Roll Call, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Steve Dennis, reporter for Roll Call Newspaper. We want to get his thoughts on the historic vote on the $819 billion economic stimulus package in the House earlier in the week, when all 177 voting Republicans voted no. The Obama charm offensive won over zero GOP members in the House, and now the effort goes on to the Senate. Of course, it's worth mentioning that the Democrats didn't need the Republican votes to pass the stimulus package, and they probably don't need them again in the Senate, but obviously a bipartisan result is what the Democratic majority and the new president are looking for. And Steve, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
What did Republican leaders say about why they went unanimously against this package? Usually there's at least a few who stray one way or the other. We saw 11 Democrats vote against it. What was the reasoning in the GOP conference of why this was completely unacceptable to all their members?
Well, I think they just looked at a couple of things. One is how the package was put together essentially only with Democratic input behind closed doors. They felt shut out by Democratic leaders in the House. And the second thing is, if you look at the package as a whole, it's ideologically what Democrats want and not what Republicans want. It's two-thirds spending, and spending on a lot of programs that liberals tend to like, things like food stamps and health care for the poor. Those aren't programs that Republicans have been fighting for. Those are programs that Republicans have generally been trying to squeeze and cut back. And so I think ideologically it was a tough, it was never going to be easy for a Republican to ideologically vote for something like that. And then second of all, the fact that they weren't really included in a lot of the major decisions on how to put this together kept them pretty much all together, unified against it.
One of the things we've heard, of course, is that this is a jobs creation bill, or at least a jobs sustaining bill, to the tune of 3 or 4 million. What are the provisions in there that Democrats believe will create the most jobs? They talk a lot about infrastructure, but that's only $30 billion of $819 billion here. Where else do they see a lot of jobs being created as a result of this package?
Well, there's $30 billion for roads and bridges, but there's more like $100 billion when you add in things like sewage treatment plants, sewer lines. There's going to be tens of billions spent on renewable energy technology and an upgrade of the electric grid. So a lot of these things are infrastructure that total about $100 billion. Some of those things will take a couple of years to get really up and running. But also you have things like food stamps, which Democrats point to will get into the economy very, very quickly. You know, shortly after this bill is passed, people will start getting an extra, you know, $10-$20 a month on their food stamps. Plus, they're going to get $25 a week for unemployment benefits. People whose unemployment benefits would otherwise run out will continue to get unemployment benefits. And you know, if somebody's unemployed, generally, if they get a little bit extra money, they're going to go out and spend it, which the Democrats believe will be a stimulus, will help buoy the economy when demand is really falling off. And there are some other things in there. There's certainly the tax checks that are going to go out to taxpayers, just like we had last year. This year it's $500 a person. You know, it's sort of a debate as to whether that will actually do much to stimulate the economy because a lot of people just take that money and save it. But some people will go out and spend more money doing that. There's also things in here like a tax credit for buying a new house between now and 6 months from now. Maybe that will, you know, spark some people to buy a house. There are things in here. When you talk about spending $800 billion, you know, that is going to stimulate the economy. You're just going to have more dollars out there. But the real question is whether some of these things won't be spent quickly enough or will be spent on relatively wasteful things. That's what the Republicans say, is that a lot of this money is going to be wasted. Another thing that's happening is there a very large chunk of this is going to go to state and local governments. Right now, state and local governments, which all operate generally under balanced budget rules, they either have to raise taxes or fire and lay off workers. And right now, a lot of them are laying off workers or doing both, which is exactly what you don't want in an economy which is already suffering from so many layoffs.
We're talking with Steve Dennis of Roll Call. Steve, in our last few minutes here, several more topics we want to get to. Number one, it's interesting that there's very different ideas of inclusion here. House Republicans, and I believe the same is being said by Senate Republicans, that they're not getting much of a voice in what gets included in this legislation. But after the vote, it was House Democrats who went to Nancy Pelosi, according to reports that we've seen, who said, well, we tried to include what some of the stuff that they wanted here. None of them voted for it, so let's just leave them out of the process from now on, even though she's saying she's not ready to do that. Just describe the atmosphere up there if you can.
Well, I think there are a lot of Democrats who, especially the more liberal members, who didn't like a lot of the tax cuts that were in this package. There's nearly $300 billion in tax cuts in there that were intended to get Republican votes. And if the Republicans aren't going to vote for the package, there are liberals and progressive Democrats who would much rather have that money go to spending. And they're asking Pelosi, why are we bending over backwards and putting in all these tax cuts that Republicans like if they're not going to even support the bill? We'd rather spend the money on more roads, more bridges, health care for the poor, et cetera. You know, that's sort of a internal Democratic feud, but that's probably not going to happen because President Obama wants those tax cuts. A lot of those tax cuts he promised during the campaign, and a lot of Democrats want those tax cuts as well, so they can say, hey, 95% of the folks who pay taxes are going to get a tax cut in addition to all of the spending programs that are going to go out there and they say create a lot of jobs.
Steve, let's look over at the Senate debate now, and we have some Republicans who are just like their House colleagues saying, this is pork, this is not going to stimulate the economy, this is a waste of taxpayer money, we're not getting on board. Others are more reserved in how they view this right now, and we see that, I believe it's Ben Nelson of Nebraska, wants to kind of reassemble the Gang of 14 that ended the battle over judicial confirmations to try and come together to work out some sort of compromise package that'll be acceptable to a large majority of senators. What might be part of that compromise? Any indication there?
Well, you know, the way the Senate has typically worked when it comes to these big spending bills is they add, you know, they end up adding things. You know, if you want to get to 60 votes, you go to vote number 59 and vote number 60 to get something done. And usually that 59th and 60th senator isn't saying, well, get rid of ABC and I'll join. They often are saying, well, I've got this problem in my state or that problem in my state, and if you add it, I'll join. So it's quite likely that the Senate package is actually going to get larger and more expensive. And one of the things that it looks like it's going to happen is the Senate package will include a patch to the alternative minimum tax. It's a yearly issue where millions of Americans are under threat of falling into this tax trap, and they every year have to go in and sort of prevent it from happening. That's a $70 billion item, and that's going to be harder for Republicans to vote against. And the other thing is Senate Republicans are different from House Republicans. They don't have gerrymandered districts. They have to deal with states. A lot of them are from states where Obama either won or Obama is doing very well in right now as far as his popularity. It's going to be much harder for these Senate Republicans to vote en masse against this bill. And you know, Democrats only need one or two Republicans to jump overboard, and all of a sudden they have the 60 votes they need. And it's just going to be interesting to see if there's just a tweak or two, or if there's going to be sort of any kind of wholesale changes. And if there are wholesale changes, you might see some very unhappy Democrats on the House side. So what I would be really looking to see is how much bigger is this package going to get to sort of buy off more votes, as opposed to getting much smaller. There may be some smaller items that are controversial, that are sort of people have been hearing about, whether it be money for prevention of sexually transmitted diseases, for example, that goes to things like AIDS clinics. That's something that Republicans complained about. There are items like that that are relatively small, a couple hundred million here, a couple hundred million there, that might get taken out for mainly for political purposes to make it easier to pass the bill. But it's hard to see a wholesale change.
Real quickly, Steve, less than 60 seconds to go here. One area where the Democrats might be picking up a vote or at least eliminating a no vote is that it appears that President Obama is seriously considering Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire to be the next Commerce Secretary since the whole Bill Richardson nomination fizzled. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, and we were hearing my colleague Emily Pierce broke the story yesterday that that Judd Gregg has been approached and that we're hearing that he may be end up being the pick, and that would certainly throw things into totally the potential for Democrats to have 60 votes in the Senate if Al Franken is seated from Minnesota, and if he is replaced by a Democrat, the governor there is a Democrat, could name a Democrat to that seat, and certainly that's going to be something that the Republican senators are going to try and stop and keep Judd Gregg there at all costs, because you know their ability to be part of the conversation is their ability to stop legislation with a filibuster. And if Judd Gregg goes, that could be all she wrote. They could end up being a sideshow for the next couple of years.
We'll keep an eye on that. And Steve, thank you so much for being with us today.
Great to be here.
Steve Dennis is a reporter for Roll Call Newspaper. This is Dateline Washington.